So the reading tonight is Psalm 23, great psalm, on page 549 of the Church Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Caroline. Please keep that passage open, Psalm 23, and on the reverse of the notice sheet you'll see an outline of where we're heading this afternoon. Are you being looked after? It's what we all want, isn't it? We want to be taken care of. We want to be protected from harm and our needs provided for. The question is, this year, where is that going to come from? Who or what is looking out for you? It's tempting, isn't it, maybe, to think, well, I can look after myself, thank you very much. Presumably that means we're relying on our assets or abilities, talents or contacts. But those things don't necessarily last, and of course they can't give us everything. Maybe we've got great families or friends around us, which again is a wonderful blessing. But can they deliver when it comes to the crunch? What about the government? I heard one of the Labour leadership candidates put it this week, the question. What people want to know is, are we in touch with the public? Are we on their side? Do we understand their concerns? Well, fine-sounding, appealing words. But can that politician or any politician really deliver on such promises? Well, David, the author of this psalm, lived, if you like, a very topsy-turvy kind of life. He knew both extremes of life. At times, he was the king of Israel, knowing pleasure and ease. At other times, we find he was on the run, in danger for his life, even from his own family members. Where did his security come from? Who or what would provide for him and protect him? Well, Psalm 23 is his answer. And he tells us, the Lord is my shepherd. I wonder if Caroline began reading, he thought, familiar words. But maybe it's that over-familiarity that dulls our appreciation of just how significant they are. And maybe as those words began to be read, a picture came to your mind. Maybe that romantic notion of a shepherd sitting on a hillside in the evening sun, cuddling that cute little lamb. Well, that idealistic picture is so far removed from life today. The problem is, we think these words have nothing to do with us in 21st century London. But David spoke of shepherding from his own personal experience. And in case we still think shepherding is a career option for wimps, listen to what we read in 1 Samuel 17. David said to Saul, "Your servant, David, used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck down and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears." That is a job description for a shepherd, if you're interested. Not for the faint-hearted. And there's even more to this term shepherd as David uses it. In the Bible and in the time when he wrote, it was an idea to convey leadership or even kingship. One who had rule or care for people under his authority. So that's David. Well, looking at this psalm, then let's ask the question for ourselves. Who is our shepherd, so to speak? Who is that one looking out for us, providing for us, protecting us, from danger. Well, as we read Psalm 23 today, we're to realize that position of shepherd has been decisively claimed by one who walked this earth after David. Jesus knew this psalm, and well aware of its significance, he said, "I am the good shepherd." He was claiming this psalm for himself. So as we read it now, we will see more of what Jesus meant when he claimed to be the good shepherd. And verse 1 is a stunning assertion. Did you notice it, or are you too familiar with it? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. I think that's actually when people switch off from listening to this psalm. They consign it to the category of nice sounding but empty sentimentality. Are you saying with Jesus, "I shall not want"? They think of plenty of ways in which that fails to be true. There's much they want but don't have, and so ignore it. But "I shall not want" really is a bold claim. Let's not write it off. Let's actually think what it's meant to mean and what it is offering us. And it is astonishing. Put simply, it means we won't be left wanting in terms of what we truly need. The one who made us knows what's best for us, and he is committed to ensuring we don't go without. But more than that, the rest of the psalm shows us what that means in practice. "I shall not want." So let's dive in. And first we see loving shepherding on the way. Loving shepherding on the way. Again, what picture does Psalm 23 bring to mind? My hunch is maybe pastoral scene, but tranquil, peaceful, calm. Not a lot of activity taking place. And there's a bit of that in verse 2. But really, there's more to this psalm. David is right, as if he's on the move. He's on a journey. Now, that language of journey is quite corny, isn't it? We hear it often enough. Think of the departing X Factor contestant. They're enthusiastically saying what a wonderful journey they've been on, just as Simon Cowell tells us how rubbish they are. Or there's Tony Blair, his autobiography out this week, his memoirs, A Journey. But actually, the idea of journey is a biblical idea. It's a picture of the Christian life. The classic example is God's people leaving Egypt, travelling through the wilderness and arriving in the promised land. So this journey, our life is a journey, the Christian life is a journey. Loving shepherding on the way. So first of all, the shepherd gives life in verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Maybe this summer you went hiking in the mountains. Turns out hotter than expected, and that you didn't take enough water. The sun is beating down. It turns out far longer, far tougher than you'd planned. You really are on your last legs. You think you can't go any longer. But you turn that corner, there's that sheltered spot. And even better, there's a stream from which you can be refreshed and take a drink. Such a relief. And before long, your whole outlook is transformed and you are ready to continue on your way. Well, for the sheep travelling, hard, strenuous, wearisome work, but they don't find it by accident. The shepherd takes them to the place where they get what they need just when they need it. Rest in the lush pastures, refreshment with pure water. Now, this kind of shepherding has already been experienced by God's people. So that journey out of Egypt to the promised land was a long and hard trip. It seemed at times they weren't going to make it. The people certainly thought that. They wanted to turn back. But to cut a long story short, they got there. They got to the edge of the promised land. And when they were there, Moses said to them, "God knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord has been with you. You have lacked nothing." And they could look back and see that God had delivered. And so on to the beginning of verse 3. "He restores my soul." Well, that's summing up what we've already seen. When we're flagging and worse, the shepherd will pick us up, give us renewed life and vigour. But I guess the question is, how does the Lord Jesus give that to us today? It may well be particular provisions or changed circumstances in our lives just when we need them. But more than that, I think, if we've been reading through the Psalms consecutively, this would bring to mind something that comes up just a page back, a page or two back in Psalm 19. So do turn there. Psalm 19 is in the heart of this little section of the Psalms. And listen to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. That same phrase, reviving the soul. Paying attention to God's word is not just another hectic thing to do in our hectic lives. How am I going to make sure I read my Bible? It's through his word that Jesus is our food and drink, our rest. As we hear him speak, it will energize us, refresh us, and restore us. The word of God will keep us going along the way. How dare we neglect it? So the question at the beginning of the year to be asking ourselves is, if nothing else this coming year, how am I going to ensure that I immerse myself in God's word? So the shepherd gives life. Next we see that the shepherd leads the way. Turn back to Psalm 23 and carrying on in verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, maybe when it comes to moving sheep from one place to another, which I saw a lot of growing up in the beautiful Wales, we might think of the sheepdog nudging and prodding the sheep and keeping them and pushing them forward. But in David's day, the shepherd would lead the way, and the sheep, knowing what was good for them, would follow. Well, given the choice, where would you want the shepherd to lead us in the next few months? Maybe the path of the easy life, the path of the successful career, the path of that particular relationship working out, or the path of good health. Well, our shepherd cares for us, but he cares for us too much to allow us to choose the route. The shepherd doesn't say to the sheep, after you, as if we know the best way to go. Who knows what actual falls or temptations might lie that way if we got what we wanted. Instead, we're told in verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Those paths to us might include quite a few surprising turns, ways that we wouldn't have chosen to go. But those will be the paths that are right for us, and where on those paths we'll be doing what is right. Well, again, how is it that the shepherd leads the way? And again, it may well be that these twists and turns we find our way are God-given ways, nudging us in one direction or another, the circumstances of our lives. But more than that, Jesus, when he said he was the good shepherd, told us, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So the shepherd's concern is that we listen, we heed his voice, and the priorities that he reveals, those are the ones that shape the decisions and the ways that we go in our lives. Why does the shepherd do all this? Why does he provide so comprehensively and outline and lead the way that we should go? Well, the end of verse 3 says it, for his name's sake. Many people, I think, read Psalm 23, they get that warm glow inside and think it's all about me, making me feel at ease. Now, the psalm is about how wonderful it is to be one of the Lord's sheep, but it's much more than that. We should leave Psalm 23 thinking, how amazing is the shepherd? It's for his name's sake, it's for the sake of his reputation that he gives us these things, which is actually great news. You and I keeping going as a Christian, our lives restored and revived, is all tied up with the glory of Jesus. His reputation depends on it. So he will keep us going. So the shepherd gives life. He leads the way. Next we find he dispels fear. Verse 4. This verse, if you like, underlines that the paths of righteousness are no guarantee of the easy life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So this year might not be the cozy, easy, trouble-free way that we are hoping for. There may well be times of danger and difficulty because Jesus has led us there. Maybe a relationship will break down rather than work out. A loved one might die. We might struggle with depression or ill health, maybe sustained, hurtful opposition. We may well be tempted to despair. But verse 4 is saying we can have calm and secure confidence even then. Not because those trials won't come, but instead in those trials we are able, this verse says, to fear no evil or disaster. Those things will not hold the same terror for us as they do for our non-Christian friends. Because we know the shepherd. He is all-powerful. None of those things are outside his control or care. One particular evil or disaster that each of us will face, hopefully not this year, but sometime, will be our death, unless the Lord Jesus returns first. It is the valley of the shadow of death. There'll be a moment, as we walk through the valley, we will reach that point. And of course, it's at that point that any other shepherds that we have are shown for what they are. They can't help us then. They are the ones that will be found wanting. Here we discover what it is that makes the Lord Jesus stand apart from all those other shepherds, even the best of them. Because as we read in John 10, he tells us the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Do you realize just how striking that is? Other shepherds might risk their lives for the sheep, like David did, as we heard at the beginning. But it would be ridiculous, wouldn't it, for a shepherd to intentionally give his life for sheep? Well, not so with Jesus. He gave his life intentionally because he knew that was the only way that the sheep could be brought through death. See, for us, the valley of the shadow of death is not a dead end. Jesus, the shepherd, has been through it and come out the other side. The sheep following him will do the same. We need not fear even death. So in all this, the shepherd brings comfort. But how does he do that? And the second half of verse 4 tells us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One of the hardest things, isn't it, about trials is facing them alone. That feeling, no one else seems to know what I'm going through. They don't appreciate just how hard this is. But David says, yet you are with me. Being conscious of the personal presence of the Lord changes everything. Did you notice what changed in Psalm 23, halfway through verse 4? Did you see it? Up to that point, David had described the shepherd, what the Lord does. But now, as he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he moves to addressing the Lord directly. For you are with me. Often those crises of life are when we are driven closer to cling to the Lord Jesus and we begin to see he is there with us in that valley. And if we've realized who that shepherd is that is with us, that you, well, nothing more needs to be said. We're told here the shepherd has his rod to beat away enemies, his staff to guide us and protect us. We are safe. He is with us. The all-loving, all-powerful shepherd is taking care of us. Nothing to fear. So, on our journey in the Christian life, with Jesus, we have loving shepherding along the way. And then in verses 5 and 6, the psalm moves on to speak of lasting hospitality in the house. Lasting hospitality in the house. My brother's getting married next month, and hard decisions are being made about which of family and friends make the cut and get onto the guest list. I am optimistic, but we'll see. For all of us here, the event of eternity is coming up. Did you know that? But we need not fret. We're in. The all-powerful creator of the universe wants you and me as guests at his table. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So we're no longer in the open country with the shepherd. The journey is over. The destination has been reached. We're at the dining table in the home with the Lord God as our host. In his memoirs, Tony Blair recounts when he and Cherie were invited to Balmoral for a barbecue. He tells of how stunned he was when, having eaten his food, sitting back and relaxing, it was the Queen herself who came round, gathered the dishes, and went and started to wash up. Can you imagine that? Well, that's nothing compared to what we have here. We are far more privileged. The Lord God, we're told, has prepared a table for us. He anoints our head with oil. That means we are there as his honoured guests. Presumably when Tony Blair left that barbecue in Balmoral, headed back down to Downing Street, all his problems were still there. But look at this meal, we're told. It's in the presence of my enemies. That is, it's a victory banquet. All those enemies, like suffering and sin, death and Satan. Well, during this meal, it's not as if we're just going to tuck in and forget about those just for a while. This is a meal because they are defeated. They are no more. So if we're suffering today in the valley, be assured it won't last. The Lord God will deal with it and bring us to his table to enjoy the fruits of his victory. Verse 5, our cup overflows. There will simply be too many kindnesses flooding our way for us to handle. Well, verse 6, David sums up both the way and the destination. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Imagine walking down the street one evening when you notice a gang of youths over there looking at you and pointing in your direction. Well, you're immediately uneasy. You start picking up the pace as you walk the other way. Well, you see behind you, they are walking after you. So you start running, scared but hopeful that with the adrenaline pumping, you'll be able to make a getaway. Well, you see, they start running too. So you jump a wall or two, as do they. You dive through a few hedges. You keep running, but to no avail. They close in. One of them tackles you, flattens you to the ground. You're expecting the very worst. When one of them hands you a pile of notes saying, you left these at the cash point. You see, the common perception is that God, if he is there, is watching us. He's out to trip us up, to catch us out. Even maybe as Christians we think, I've got to do my bit to keep God on side. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now that word really follow is much stronger than that. When David was fleeing Saul and Saul was chasing after him, wanting to kill him, the word chase means the same word as here as follow. So think here that we are being pursued, we are being chased by the shepherd, wanting to give us goodness and mercy. That is the Christian life from start to finish. When we were miles away from God, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. But wonderfully, the chase doesn't end there, if you like. It's not as if now we're in, well, fend for yourselves. No, Jesus is still after us. In his love, he's not fast to condemn us, but to forgive us, to put us back on our feet and to bless us, even as we walk through this valley. Jesus the shepherd is determined to do us good. Most of us, I think, find the Christian life harder than we envisaged when we started out. Maybe we're finding it very hard today. But when we realize all that Jesus is doing for us, we should see, it should be our experience, that it's also much better than we envisaged for all the reasons we've seen in this psalm. Life with the shepherd is true life. The life we were created for. That's what Jesus wants for us. He doesn't want to take away. He says as shepherd, I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. And all this for all the days of my life. So if we have other shepherds at the moment we're quite happy with, well, will they last? Well, Jesus will. He won't leave us, he won't hurt us or abandon us on the way. Others might do so, but not Jesus. He has committed to us for life to do us good. As we come to the conclusion of the psalm, let's ask ourselves the one question. It might be on your mind. Why would a shepherd pursuing us with goodness lead us, his sheep, into this valley filled with danger and threat of death? Why would he do that? And of course, there's only one possible answer: to take us somewhere better. Second half of verse 6. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amazingly, that meal at the table was no one-off invitation. In this house is where we are going to stay forever. It's not so much the house, spectacular as that is, but rather whose house it is that will make the journey, however hard it is, more than worthwhile. Now, as David speaks here of the house, he would no doubt have in mind the temple, the place of God's presence. But of course, that physical temple didn't last. But the temple is pointing forward to the new heavens and the new earth, where God's people will enjoy his presence forever. Then our journey will be over. We'll be home at last. No one will ever be able to take us away. As Jesus the shepherd said, I give my sheep eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So we've seen from Psalm 23 what it means to have the Lord as our shepherd. As Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is making a very strong claim for himself. Astonishing. He will defeat the strongest of enemies. For those who are his sheep, he gives life. He will lead the way. He will dispel our fears and bring us comfort. And David knows all these privileges are his. He can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just the Lord is the shepherd, but his shepherd. David looks to him for all that he needs. So there is an implicit challenge to us in David's words. Is the Lord Jesus my shepherd? Not only have I turned to trust him for the first time, but is he the one this year in the ups and downs of life that I will look to protect me and provide for my needs? Do I trust him to deliver on what he's promised? But I think more than that, there is deep, strong comfort for us in this psalm. Because if we can say that first half of verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, then the second half truly follows. I shall not want. Our loving shepherd will provide now and forever. So when the way is tough this week, this month, this year, let's tell ourselves and one another, as David did, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's pray as we finish. So, our Father, we praise you again for providing for us the very best of shepherds. Please would we trust him to lead us through life and to get us to being with you forever. Would we take great comfort from knowing that he has staked his reputation on ensuring that we shall not want. Amen.